Amen. You may be seated once again. Good morning and welcome home. Good to see all of you. All of you who are here in the building, thank you. Those of you who are watching online, welcome Columbus also. They are not meeting in person today. They're joining us online as well. And so it is good to see all of you. Just want to mention a couple of things. We were raising funds the last couple of weeks for a middle school project, and every year we adopt the middle school, and we let them tell us what their need is. And this year, they said we would love to give out some $25 gift cards, Aldi's gift cards, to families who need it, so that they have a little extra money for groceries for Thanksgiving, Christmas, whatever. And so, thanks to God's provision and your generosity, we gave out 50 $35 cards that they will be handing out to families in need. So give God praise for that, and thank you for your generosity. We also had another food distribution on Friday that went really well, and we're able to give away a lot of boxes of food. So God marches on. Pandemic or no pandemic, God marches on, the church marches on, and so thank you for being a part of that. Well, if we haven't met, my name is Adam, and I'm the discipleship pastor here at Pitt Naz. And I back in the 90s, there was a movie made, an award-winning movie, about one of the great theologians of our time. His name was Forrest Gump. And Forrest Gump, one of the things, you know, Forrest Gump, he said he wasn't really a theologian, okay, for those of you who haven't seen the movie, okay, but he said, oh, there's all these quotable lines through the movie, and one of the things that Forrest Gump said was, I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is. Right? He also said, Lieutenant Dan, you got new legs. Once you start quoting Forrest Gump, it's hard to stop. I'm not a smart man, but I know what love. Forrest Gump says he knows what love is. Hollywood says it knows what love is. We, as followers of Jesus, say that we know what love is. But here's the thing, love is such a foundational part of the Christian life. It is worth taking a look at it from time to time and reminding ourselves of what love is, of what it looks like, of what the Bible says about it. In fact, as I was thinking about this message today, this is our final message. This is week 11 of Kingdomize. This is the longest sermon series we've done since I've been here, by far. And God has given us some great truth, some great reminders at times, some really timely things about the weird, crazy time that we're living in. And so, you know, Kingdomize, we've been defining it as the lifelong pursuit of seeing as Jesus sees. In other words, are we looking at the world through our own limited human perspective, or are we looking at the world and life and ourselves and other people through the eyes of Jesus? And so I was thinking, and by the way, this is the last message in this series because next week starts Advent, the Christmas season, and you know what that means? That means 2020 is almost over. So I was thinking about this as the last message in this series, and I was thinking about what's the end game of this series? Like, where should everything that we've talked about the last 11 weeks, where ultimately should it lead us? And I had a few different things going through my head, and then a couple Friday nights ago, we were driving to a football game of Austin's, my oldest son, and we passed a church with a marquee sign, and it just said this, love God, love others, it's that simple. And I read that, and I thought, that's it. That's the end game of this series. In fact, that's the end game of every sermon series. That's the end game of every sermon, is to help us and equip us and encourage us and inspire us and challenge us to love God and love people. Because that is the foundation of the Christian life. Looking at things through the eyes of Jesus should always lead us back to loving God more completely and loving others more deeply. That is the ultimate goal of the Christian life. And so, if you would, turn with me to the book of 2 John. Now, if you have an app, that's going to be easy to find. You just type it in and look it up. If you have an actual paper Bible, the easiest way to find it is to go to the last book in the Bible, Revelation, and start going backwards, and you'll come to it pretty quickly. There are three short little books called 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. Don't get that confused with the Gospel of John at the beginning, all written by the same guy. You know what his name was? John, yes. So, but we're looking at 2 John. It's real short. It's one chapter. I don't even have a chapter listed here because it's just one chapter. We're looking at verses 5 and 6. And here's what John says in 2 John verses 5 and 6. He says, I'm writing to remind you. Remind you, he says, dear friends, that we should love one another. This is not a new commandment. It's one we've had from the beginning. Love means doing what God has commanded us, and he has commanded us to love one another, just as you heard from the beginning. He says a couple of times, I'm reminding you. He says you've known this from the beginning. You know, sometimes Kyle will say, or sometimes I'll say, like I am today, I'm not going to give you anything new today. If you've been following Christ for any length of time, you're not going to hear anything new that you don't already know. But I'm doing what John is doing in this letter and saying, listen, this is so important. This is so foundational to who we are as followers of Jesus. We've got to remind ourselves of this from time to time. We've got to remind ourselves. So here's John's message. He says, well, how do we know that we love God? By walking in obedience to him. He's echoing what Jesus said repeatedly. If you love me, you will obey me. If you love me, you will obey my commands. If you love me, you will obey me. He says that over and over. So how do we know that we love God? By walking in obedience to him. Well, how do we walk in obedience to him? By loving one another. And why do we love one another? Because we love God. See, there's this circular pattern to it. How do we show that we love God? By walking in obedience to him. How do we walk in obedience to him? By loving each other. Why do we love each other? Because we love God. It's this circular pattern to the Christian life. That's what the Christian life is. It's this ongoing process of learning to love God more completely and love others more deeply. Loving God, loving our neighbor. And those are so intricately intertwined, you can't separate them. In fact, John says in another place, don't claim to love God and hate your neighbor. Loving our neighbor is how we show our love to God. You heard of love languages, probably. You know, everybody has different things that communicate love to them. And the key is not to communicate to people in your love language, but in their love language, what speaks love to them. You want to know what God's love language is? Loving each other. That's how we show our love to God, is we love each other. That's what the Bible tells us. And again, John is reminding us repeatedly, this is not anything new. We need to be reminded. When somebody in my family comes home and they're grumpy and they're in a bad mood and they're barking, I need to be reminded. I'm supposed to love my neighbor. When some fool cuts me off in traffic or is driving 15 under the speed limit, I need to remember I'm supposed to love my neighbor. When some troll on the internet is saying something stupid, I need to remember I'm supposed to love my neighbor. I'm supposed to love my neighbor, and I need to be reminded of that from time to time. So John is writing this. He's reminding us that our Christian faith is all about loving our neighbor. And as he's writing this, I've got to imagine he was thinking back. You know, John was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. In fact, he was closer, had a closer relationship with Jesus than anybody else. And as he's writing these words, I bet he was thinking back to when he remembers hearing with his own ears Jesus saying, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. This is my command, love each other. And I bet John remembered, again, hearing with his own ears when Jesus said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. In other words, with every part of who you are, love God. And Jesus said, this is the first and greatest commandment. And he went on and he said, a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then I bet John was remembering Jesus continue as he said, the entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments, loving God and loving people. You know, Paul takes up the same idea in the book of Galatians. He says the entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God and love people. And you will fulfill the commandments. You will fulfill the things that God has for us. Peter, another disciple of Jesus, who heard those words with his own ears, said, so now you must show sincere love to each other, not fake love. Sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart, he says. That's how we show God our love. And that's how we live the Christian life. You see, the Christian life is not about, it's not about do's and don'ts and following a set of rules. Those have their place. It's not about just practicing religion. The foundation of the Christian life is loving God and loving people. And everything we do, everything we say, every view that we adopt, our political views, our view on COVID, our view on everything, needs to come first and foremost from loving your neighbor. Loving your neighbor. So, if it's so important, if love is so foundational to who we are as believers and how we live the Christian life, we want to be like Forrest Gump and we want to know what love is. And we need to be reminded from time to time of what love is. So I want to give you three things today, three things that describe true, genuine, biblical love. It's the kind of love that God has shown us and the kind of love that we need to practice toward one another. The first thing is love gives. Love gives. Love always seeks to give, not get. Love always seeks to give, not get. Last week I shared a verse with you. I want to share with you again, but highlighted a couple different words here. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave. He gave. Those of you watching online, he loved so much that he gave. He loved and he gave. He loved, he gave. The natural outpouring of love is to give. The natural result of love is to give. Well, I want what makes me happy. That's what our culture says, right? You go get what makes you happy. I want my needs met. I want what I want. I'm looking out for number one. I want my rights. Want to know what Paul says about our rights? This is a hard one for us to swallow. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. In other words, you have a right to an opinion, but that doesn't mean you should share it. You have the right to say anything you want, but that doesn't mean you should. You have the right to do anything that you want, but that doesn't mean you should. You have the right to post anything you want on social media, but that doesn't mean you should. Because not everything is beneficial. He goes on in that very same thought, very next verse. No one should seek their own good but the good of others. You know what Paul is saying here? Man, this is a hard one. You know what he's saying in these verses? Loving others trumps our personal rights. Let that sink in for a minute. Loving others trumps getting and demanding our right to do something or say something. Loving others trumps our personal rights. You know why? Because love is about giving, not taking. Love doesn't demand its rights. Love says, how can I look out for you? Not how can I look out for me, how can I look out for you? That's what love does. Don't be mad at me, this is Scripture. This is Scripture. Love seeks to give, not get. And if my main concern is my rights, my needs, my wants, you know what? My relationships are going to suffer for the rest of my life and probably be short-lived. Because love gives. It doesn't seek to get. And the beauty of it is when both parties in a relationship approach it this way, when both parties prioritize giving to each other instead of taking from each other. You've heard me say this before. When both parties commit to that, guess what? Both parties get their needs met and probably a lot of their wants. But they get met in an atmosphere, in a home, in a situation of selfless giving instead of selfish taking. Prioritize giving to the people in your life, not taking. In fact, what can you give to somebody today? What can you give somebody today? I'm not talking about going out and buying something. I mean, I guess if that's their love language, then maybe. But we can give to people in more ways than going and buying something. We can give people our time. Is there somebody in your life who you could give your time to them today? Or you could give your focus or your attention to them today? Could you give somebody a good attitude today? It's easy to have a bad attitude nowadays, isn't it? Could you choose to give somebody in your life a good attitude today? Could you give somebody a good work ethic? You know what I think would probably be good for all of us to give to each other right now? A break. Some slack. How many of you, raise your hand if you would say, there is somebody in my life and I really need them to give me a break. I really need them to cut me some slack right now. Raise your hand if you would say that. There's somebody in my life, I really need them to cut me some slack. Okay, so the person that you're sitting with, okay, if they have their hand raised, there is a good chance you're the one they're thinking of, all right? So give them a break. Cut them some slack. We need that right now. We need that. Everybody's stressed. Could you give to your spouse by cutting them some slack? My wife is a teacher. Her stress level has been up to here since about mid to late July, and it has not subsided. I've got to remind myself, cut her some slack. Parents, could you give to your kids by cutting them some slack? I know we don't want to excuse bad behavior, but you know what? They've got to wear masks all day at school. If they play winter sports or winter activities, they don't know if that's going to happen right now. Could you give to your kid or teen by just cutting them some slack? Kids and teens, that goes the opposite way too. There's a good chance your parents are stressed right now. There's a good chance your parents are thinking about finances. What's going to happen? Things have been crazy. What's going to happen after the first of the year? Are we going to be able to have the kind of Christmas we usually like to have? Your parents are stressed right now. Cut them some slack. Give them a break. How can you give to somebody today? Love always gives. It always gives. Love also serves. Love gives and love serves. Well, I don't serve anybody. You will never fully experience, you will never fully know the amazing kind of love that the Bible talks about unless you learn to be a servant, unless you learn to serve others. In John, in the Gospel of John, he's telling the story of the Last Supper. Jesus is with his disciples in the upper room. Later that night, he would be arrested, and then the next morning be crucified. And so he's having the Passover meal with his disciples, and John writes this. As John is narrating the story, he says, "Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love." Now, ultimately, that was fulfilled in the cross, right? The ultimate demonstration of God's love, of the love of Jesus, was fulfilled when he took our sins on himself and died on the cross. But here we have Jesus, and he's been showing his love to the disciples his entire ministry, but now he's entering the final chapter of showing them the full extent of his love. And you know what the very next thing is that he does after this? He washes their feet. He washes their feet, and he tells them, go and do the same. Jesus served them. How did he begin the process of this final demonstration of the extent of his love? He began that process by serving them. And that ritual of foot washing, that was reserved for the lowest person in the household. If they were servants, the lowest of the lowest servant did this job. And Jesus took that on himself and said, I'm going to serve you. And I want you to serve each other in the same way. Love serves. Love doesn't look for ways that people can serve you. It looks for ways you can serve people. In fact, there was years ago, you know, UPS, the package delivery company, one of my sons, when he was little, called it Ooey Peace. UPS had a slogan years and years ago, and their slogan was just, what can brown do for you? Remember that? You know, because their trucks are brown, their uniforms are brown. What can brown do for you? That was their slogan. And when I picture that, you know, I picture some marketing firm, you know, people sitting around a big boardroom table and they're thinking, you know, they've been hired to come up with a new slogan for UPS and they're, I figure they were thinking, what's a slogan we can come up with for UPS that really captures the heart of biblical love? Okay, a few of you are chuckling. I doubt seriously that that's what they were doing, right? But that's kind of what they did. They kind of came up with a slogan that captures biblical love. What can I do for you? How can I serve you? That's biblical love. Not how can you serve me? What can you do for me? What can I do for you? How can I make your life better? Not how can you make my life better? Not how do I need to connive and manipulate and try to get you to make my life better. That's not love. Love is focused on how can I make your life better. In fact, love asks the question, how can I help? That is one of the most loving, serving questions you can ask. And God's really been working on me with this question over the last 6 months or so. And you've heard me talk about this before. You know, somebody in your family comes home and they're in a bad mood and they're barking at you. I'm sure that doesn't happen in any of y'all's houses. Occasionally it does in ours, right? And they're barking. What's your initial response? To bark at them back, right? Raise your hand if that's your natural response. The rest of you are lying. That's human eye. Human eye say, and talk to me that way, and you bite their head off back. But I've asked you before, when in the history of being helpful has that ever been helpful? When has the evening ever gotten better after biting their head off back? Next time someone in your family comes home grumpy, barking, what if instead you looked through kingdom eyes and said, you've had a bad day. How can I help? How can I help? How can I help? That's one of the most serving questions you can ask. I think that question alone could completely improve the health of every marriage in this room, every marriage watching. If we would just more often ask the question, how can I help? And then you follow through. You serve. And by the way, the most helpful, loving, serving thing that you can do sometimes is to change your behavior. Right? I used to know somebody years ago, and they could just be a complete jerk to somebody. And then they would justify it by saying, "That's just who I am. I just speak my mind. That's just who I am." You know what? Love does not say, "That's who I am. Deal with it." Love says, "This habit's going to be hard to break, but if you'll be patient with me, I will work on it because I love you." Sometimes the most loving, serving thing you can do for somebody is to listen to what they're telling you is annoying or angering them or whatever, and say, "I will work on that because I love you. Be patient with me, but I will work on it because I love you." Sometimes that's the most helpful serving thing you can do. How can I help? Love gives, and love serves. Love also sacrifices. Love sacrifices. Jesus said this in the Gospel of John. This was a big theme for John. In the Gospel and in his letters, he continually goes back to this idea of loving people. Jesus says there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. No greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Now, we take that and we say, okay, well, that means the greatest act of love for somebody is to die for them. And I would agree with that. I mean, that's Jesus ultimately fulfilled this verse, right, when he died on the cross for us. But you know what? It's really easy to say, "I would die for you. I would die in your place. I would take a bullet for you." It's really easy to say that. You know why? Because there's a 99.9% chance that you're never going to have to actually follow through with that. I know it could happen, especially in this day that we live in. But chances are you are never going to have to actually die for someone else. So it's real easy to say that. But you see, there's a greater principle in this verse than just dying for somebody. There's a greater principle of giving your life away for somebody else. You say you would die for your spouse or die for someone in your life that you love. Okay, well, will you give your life away for them when they want to do this, but you want to do this? Because that's giving your life away for someone else also. Giving your life away for somebody isn't just dying in their place. It also happens in those everyday, ordinary moments when they want or need this, but you want or need that. And you say, "Because I love this person, I'm going to sacrifice this. And I'm going to prioritize them." That's a little bit harder to do, isn't it? That is laying down your life for someone else in the everyday, ordinary moments. You see, in any relationship, if I'm only saying, "What about me?" that's not love. If I'm only looking for what I can get out of it, that's not love. If I'm only looking out for my needs, my interests, my wants, my well-being, that's not love. Love lays down its life for others. And if only one person in the relationship is doing that, that's not healthy. But once again, like I said, when both people in the relationship are willing to sacrifice for each other, that's when our relationships become these beautiful things that God created them to be. When there is a mutual giving and serving and sacrificing, that's when our relationships embody not only God's love for us, but that's when they embody everything that He created our relationships with each other to be. When we are giving, when we are serving, when we are sacrificing, that is love. And you know what makes this? I just thought about this earlier, just a little bit ago. It's easy to love people when they deserve it. or when we think they deserve it. You know, the kind of love that we're talking about today loves people even when they don't, or even when we don't think that they do. You know, Paul says in Romans, he says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners. In other words, when we didn't deserve it, he didn't die for us. He didn't show his love by dying for us on the cross because we deserve it. That's the kind of love Jesus showed us. And he told us in one of those verses we saw earlier, love each other as I have loved you. That means we also need to love each other. When your spouse or your kid or your parent comes home and they're barking and they're not in a good mood, guess what? You're still called to love them. That troll on social media that says stupid things, you're still called to love them. That waiter or waitress that has given you terrible service and maybe given you attitude, you know what? You're still called to love them. In fact, what's more loving in that situation? Is it more loving? Are you loving your neighbor if you say, well, they're not getting a tip from me? Or are you loving your neighbor by saying, they're probably having a bad day. I'm going to leave them a bigger tip than normal because they maybe could use that encouragement. That's kingdom eyes. That's looking through the eyes of love your neighbor. Are you loving people? Are you giving and serving and sacrificing? Even when you feel like people don't deserve it, because that's what Jesus pours out on you and says, now go and love each other the same way. We can't do that with just human eyes. We can't do that with our own power, but you know what? If you're following Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And through his power, you can. You can love people this way through the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. And if you're saying, well, I'm not a follower of Jesus, no better day than today. No better day than today to enter into that relationship and say, God, I believe in your love for me. I believe you sent your son to die on the cross for my sins. And I want to spend the rest of my life learning to love you and love people. You can make that decision today. So, I want to close with this. The Bible gives one of the best descriptions of love there is. When I read this passage at weddings that I do, almost every wedding I do, when I read this passage, I follow it up with this. Love is not some mushy feeling in the pit of your stomach, all right? That's hormones. You can laugh at that. It's okay. Some of you are going, should I laugh at that? He said hormones. Should I laugh at that? Should I not? Love is not some mushy feeling in the pit of your stomach. I always say love is blue collar. Love rolls its sleeves up and gets to work. That's the kind of description of love that Paul gives us in 1 Corinthians 13. And so I want to read through this. And what I want you to do, maybe some of you have seen this before. I want you to, when you hear me say the word love, quietly in your mind, insert your name. Insert your name when you hear me say the word love. All right, here's what Paul says about this blue-collar, roll-your-sleeves-up kind of love. He says, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love is not boastful. Love is not proud. Love is not rude. Love is not demanding. In other words, love doesn't demand its own way. Love is not irritable. That one step on anybody else's toes besides mine? You can keep your hands down, it's okay. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not rejoice over injury. By the way, love keeping no record of wrongs, another way to say that, love forgives. if you keep bringing stuff up that people have done in the past you haven't forgiven. Love doesn't keep a record. Love doesn't rejoice over injustice. Love rejoices in the truth. I love one translation says, love rejoices when the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. Love is always hopeful. Love endures through every circumstance. Now, I don't know about you, but there were at least two or three of those where I have a hard time inserting my name because I know they're not always true for me. And I want to ask you today, was there one? Surely there was one. Surely every person in this room, every person watching online, surely there was one of those where you had a hard time inserting your name because you know you're not doing a good job of loving people in that way. Which one is yours? Let's get ready to bow your heads, close your eyes. I want to give you a minute to just pray silently. And just own it to God. We talked about that last week. Own it to God. Whichever of those ways that where you're struggling, you know you're falling short. Just own it. Is there a way that you have failed to demonstrate this kind of love to somebody in your life this week or today? Take a minute and just confess it to God. And then pray, God, I know I have fallen short and am falling short in this area. And I confess that to you. And God, I'm asking you to help me to love people, even in ways that aren't easy for me. Help me to love people in situations where it's not easy to love. Help me to love people who are not easy to love. Because that's the same love you've shown me. Father, we thank you for your truth today. We thank you for the reminder that we all need from time to time. That the Christian faith ultimately comes down to just loving you completely and loving each other more deeply. But Father, we confess to you, we can't do that in our own power. We can't do that in our own humanity, in our own human eyes. Because we're selfish by nature. But your Spirit cleanses us of that. Your Spirit transforms us. Your Spirit enables us to love you and love each other. So right now, we give to you our weak areas. Father, if we have been unloving to someone today or this past week or even years ago, Father, if there's something that we need to apologize to somebody for, give us the courage to do it and the wisdom and the words to say. Father, give us the kind of love for each other that only comes from you. We do love you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.